Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at mood.com with promo code SPECIALIST with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALIST with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALIST when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
The Survivor Specialists are back, and today we have our Survivor 49 episode 7 predictions and power rankings. It's merge time, and taking on the very difficult task of ranking these players 1 through 11. It's Cassidy Clark from Survivor 43. She's here. She's already shaking her head. Feeling that good about this right now, about your rankings?
Oh, it's so difficult because obviously we've seen there's been a lot of swaps happening. There's been a lot of cross-pollination between the tribes. And I think that that means it's not as clear-cut as some of the other seasons where it's like, oh, it's this dominating tribe versus this dominating tribe. I mean, there's just so many ways that this could go. And especially with this big move this last episode of Uli turning on Uli when they would have had all the power in the merge. It's just, it's difficult, but it's interesting. And I'm excited to be able to talk about it. But I do think it's a tough job to try to rank these players right now because it's so up in the air.
Yeah, especially after the pre-merge. Nicole, Annie weren't really surprised to see either of them go. Jake, we knew the snake bite was happening because they told us. Jeremiah felt like an obvious boot from there. And then Jason and Matt were on the wrong side of the numbers. Shannon was putting herself in a weird spot. Nothing really difficult. And I've been killing it on the power rankings, you know, give a little brag here. I think I had the last place person right every week except Jason, and I had him one spot above last place. So I'm killing it. But coming into this week, I'm going, okay, I really have no idea. And it feels good to have that feeling entering.
Yeah. Yeah. It's nice because like you said, this season has been quite predictable for a lot of the votes, which I understand. Like it's not against the players, but it's like, as an audience member, you obviously want the players to shake things up. And I think a lot of the time it can get kind of stale because players are making the best moves for themselves early on. And sometimes it's not as exciting to watch, you know? But it was fun to watch them shake things up a little bit this week.
Yeah, so let's talk about the double swap that we have here. So two swaps happen, and the three tribes of four has been very controversial. Very controversial. Some people have loved it. Some people have hated it. Some people feel like it's really not fair. What did you think about the three tribes of four?
So I usually, when they do these like twists after twists, I'm like, but I actually liked it this time because one of my contentions, like with my own season, was like, I felt like when we went into the merge, I was just with my tribe the entire time. And then it was merged. Now it's like these three. And I never really had, I think, the chance to bond. I mean, I did end up working actually with a lot of players from other, you know, Owen and Gabler. I worked with Cody. So I did get that chance to work with other players. But it was like difficult to really get them to know me and to trust me and to like get their votes at the end because I didn't all like that time to really bond with them before we were just kind of thrown into the craziness. And so I thought it was really interesting that there's so much cross-pollination happening between the tribes, and we're getting so many different people getting to connect and bond before the merge actually happens. And I think it's going to make for a really interesting dynamic when all the tribes come together, because we really don't know what they're going to do at this point. And now that so many different players from different tribes have had the chance to connect, like, who knows where things could go. And I kind of enjoyed this like last little bit, because we did see some like real bonding happening between like, you know, Steven and Jawan, and like different things that I think could make the merge a little bit crazier and a little bit more interesting. So I think that I'm hoping that it pays off, because I did kind of like it. I thought it was, you know, and it's at least something a little bit different from the like the classic formula that's been happening in the 40s.
It gets us off mergatory. And I'm always going to be happy with Mergatory being gone. I don't need Mergatory at all right now at this point in Survivor.
Was this supposed to be the Mergatory episode?
This would have been the Mergatory.
Okay, yeah, like, so we're probably in the clear for that. That's good. That's good.
Yeah, we're in the clear from Mergatory. You have to earn your way to the merge. We're in the clear from we're going to split up into two tribes of six to determine. Because the last couple seasons we've seen that where they split up at 12. The first person to go home, the person who goes home at 12 misses the jury, and then the person at 11 makes the jury. So that's what they've been doing. Now it just seems like normal merge. We're going to move forward. I'm all about that.
Yeah. And
I get why some people would feel the three tribes of four is unfair, but your castmate James Jones had message or comment on one of our posts and said, it gives me a better chance of not going home doing it this way. So I'll take this over. Like, I have a 2/3 chance of not even going to tribal council.
That's very true.
That's not the case when they do Mergatory.
Yeah. And it's, yeah, it was hard because you're like, whenever we did Mergatory, and then I was one of the six that was like in danger, and now it's like half the, or there were seven people safe, and now it's like me and these other six, and we're all connecting and bonding, but it doesn't even matter like what trying to make moves and like navigate the merge when half the people are safe and you're not one of them. It just makes your chances so much more difficult, and it makes the moves, like, obviously you have less to work with and less moves to potentially make. And so I do like that it's going to be like going into a fresh merge, and like anyone is, you know, like, is whoever, besides whoever wins the, you know, the first individual immunity, anyone is game. And I like that. I think that that's more fair, like, overall.
Yeah.
And it was interesting because it could have played out like we would assume, you know, because when they kind of showed the different tribes and the dynamic, and everybody had like a bottom person, basically. They're like, this is the obvious person going home because they were on the outs with the numbers. But it didn't actually spin out that way. So that was interesting. You know what I mean? Like, Steven would have been the clear cut vote for them, but it didn't end up they still made a move within this like smaller tribe that we didn't expect. And so I think it made it a more successful tribe swap, I think, than it just being another predictable vote.
Yeah, I totally agree. They got a little lucky with it, being that they did get the one tribe where there could have been the craziness going on, losing. Yeah. Like, if Nate goes home, that probably leaves a bad taste in a lot more people's mouths. But Shannon going home, people were saying Shannon versus Sage, great. That was built up for three episodes. Then she goes home. But you're talking about now you have people who have played with so many other people. And I just want to point out, MC and Nate, if you count themselves, there's 11 people left in the game. MC and Nate have played with 9 people each, counting themselves. There's only 2 people that they haven't been on a beach with. And I know that MC didn't vote with Sophie, Rizzo, and Savannah, and she might have only spent a day or two with them, but she did spend time with them. She did have to, air quotes, play the game with them. And so that could lead to interesting dynamics here where you have a lot of people who have met a lot of people. That's normally not the case because, like you said, when Mergatory happens, if you're on the side where you could go home, you're not really worried about bonding with those other people. You're just trying to make sure it's not going to be you.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Are they the ones that had had the most interaction with other players?
Yeah.
Okay, that's really interesting. Yeah, that does that. It's funny because, like, obviously that feels like a big advantage for them, but then we saw in this episode that it could have actually been their like undoing, you know. Not necessarily because they had met so many people, but they were just the two people on the other tribes that would have most likely been targeted to go home. And but yeah, they've met so, but yet since they survived that, now they have an advantage because they've met so many people. And I will just say that if either of them had gone home, I would have been pretty upset about that. Yeah, maybe I wouldn't have liked the three tribes as much.
That's what most people were saying. Imagine if the tribe of Rizzo, Savannah, Sophie Bellardi, and MC goes, and then MC gets her idol, Rizzo has his idol, and that means we lose Savannah or Sophie Bellardi. That wouldn't have been as positive.
No. That would have been tragic.
Yeah, people would have lost their minds. So who are you feeling good about really finding their way in at this merge with so much up in the air?
You know, I feel like we've seen Sophie, you know, Sophie B, is it?
Yeah.
I think she's in a really good spot because she's been shown to be able to integrate herself quite easily into these new groups and be taken in, like, and the people that work with her feel very strongly about her, and like, you know, it's, at least that's what we're being shown. And so I actually think that she has a pretty good chance. She has, you know, obviously still has her connection with Alex, and she's got her Uli people that she's bonded with. I just think that she's in a pretty good position right now. I don't think that, like, because I think that if there is going to be like a war, it's going to probably be between Uli and Hina, as we've seen the, you know, the editor sort of like suggesting over and over again. And so I feel like her and Alex are in a really good spot to like navigate that and kind of be a number for either one. It's just which side are they? Obviously, I think Sophie would pick the Uli side, but I think I'm interested about what side Alex would pick. But I do think that both of them are in a decent position. Luckily, it seems like they kind of deserve that break after how their season has gone. And so I would say I feel like Sophie is probably my safest bet, but also she just found like the knowledge is power, so she has an advantage, and it didn't cost her anything, you know what I mean? She doesn't have to like lose her vote, so she got a free advantage basically. I mean, not free, she went and found it, but so I think that she has a lot of power in the game. And I think that if you're asking what my number one person, that I think I had kind of put her there. Interesting.
Yeah. I'm not quite there yet, so you can still talk it through. I'm just wondering who you're thinking there, because I agree with you, Sophie. What's really good about Sophie's spot right now, and even if she ends up being both of our number one, spoiler for everybody as we get there, but what's really good about her game right now is she has the knowledge is power. And she said last week, I know Rizzo has the idol, but I'm aligned with Rizzo, so I'm going to see if I can figure out who else has the idol.
Yeah.
And MC hasn't gotten her idol yet because she hasn't actually lost an immunity challenge. So for MC, she can't get her idol until they lose. And who knows if it's going to be something where she goes and gets it and it involves something that makes it very obvious she just picked it up. Now, if it's very obvious that she picked it up, Sophie Bellardi can steal that from her to get numbers on her side if the Ulis ultimately want to take out a challenge threat like MC. So
yeah,
I do love where Sophie's at, because when Sophie and Alex split, it feels like Sophie went to the side with the power players and Alex went to the side with kind of the people who are along for the ride, at least what we're being told from the edit right now.
Yeah.
And so I'm feeling much more confident in Sophie, and I think the split couldn't have worked out any better for her.
Yeah. That's so true. I mean, yeah, it was like her Rizzo and Savannah, right? Yeah. They were, they were in a great position no matter what.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, where do you fall on Sage votes out Shannon?
Yeah.
And Jawan goes along with this as well. So Jawan and Sage both kind of break rank here and vote out an Uli. Savannah and Rizzo. Savannah, we heard saying a lot that Shannon was somebody she wanted to work with. She felt good about Shannon, all this. Where do you fall on the forgiveness factor that's going to go into this with these two?
It's tough because I feel like, I think they're going to be upset because that's just one less number that they now have to be able to, you know, go into the merge with. I think they're not really going to trust Sage. I mean, they already kind of were feeling iffy about Sage. And so I think that that's, and also Jawan, because obviously Savannah had some issues with Jawan this season. So I think that she will be less forgiving just based off of the fact that she didn't really bond or connect with them nearly as much as she had with Shannon. And so I do think it's going to be tough, but it just depends on like where the other numbers fall and like, is it worth it to ostracize them and then potentially jump ship over to Hina? Or do we pretend to forgive them and then we can get our payback later and we just still need, if they're still willing to work with the old Uli and they're not just trying to completely jump ship, you know, do you forgive them on the outside but plan your revenge on the inside? That's what I think. That's how I think Savannah's mind would work with this.
Well, Because it's tough. There's 11 people. There's five Ulis now because they voted out Shannon instead of getting rid of Steven. And while there's only four Hinas, you feel good about having Sophie on your side. But if you get rid of Jawan or Sage here, you give total power to Sophie and Alex then. You say, we have four, Hina has four, you pick your side, and you might feel good about Sophie. But if you're a player like Savannah, do you really want to give that much power to another player? Because they don't know the Hinas at all. They know MC for 5 minutes. But the other Hinas that Savannah and Nate or Savannah and Rizgod met, they're both out of the game because it was Jason and Matt. They're both gone. So are you really going to give Sophie that much power? That would be crazy.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So, and then in terms of some of these other players that we don't really know, Christina, Sophie, the other Sophie, any idea where you think they might fall in all of this? Are they just going to be pawns? Do you think they have any shot of pulling something? Sophie doesn't seem happy with Christina at this point because Christina keeps throwing Sophie's name around.
Okay, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that little dynamic. Yeah, I mean, I think that they're going to have to, like, stick together for right now because I think that Uli is definitely a huge threat to them. It's hard to know, like, based off, like, I feel like it's weird because I feel like Sophie has barely been getting any screen time. Yeah, like, obviously the other Sophie. And so I'm like, or maybe I'm just misremembering, but I just don't feel like she's they've really focused on her at all. So that makes me wonder, like, okay, are they just trying to hide her and she's going to be a big player later? Or is it really that consequential? Like, you know what I mean? I feel like maybe it will come to a head between Christina and Sophie at some point because they like are hinting at this, but I don't really know. Like, it's hard to really suss out. Like, I think Sophie could, I think she seems smart to me. And I think that she could, you know, be a good player. I don't think she's A, been given really the chance to do anything, and B, been given the screen time for us to see like the way that her mind fully works. I think Christina is a little bit more of like go with the flow and like just trying to figure it out. I don't know if she strikes me as like as strong as a player as some of the people we've seen. But I don't know. I think this merge is gonna show a lot because a lot of these people have never even been in tribal, right? That are going in. Like a lot of these Hinas have never been.
Three of the four
tribal at all. Yeah,
Christina, so, Sophie, and MC all haven't been.
Yeah, so that's crazy to like go into the merge just like never going. Yeah,
well, that's where 43, despite not having a swap, we got very lucky with how that shook out. 2-2. Yeah, it just kept on working. Yeah. What do you think about this from Daryl Seymour? Is this just a conspiracy theorist here? Sophie complained about the reward, so she isn't getting screen time. I'm not joking. You think the editors are punishing her for saying that she's not? That she didn't want the bananas and
Wait, sorry. Could you pull that up again? Sophie?
Yeah.
Oh. You know, I don't know. I mean, I sometimes feel like I got, like, there was, like, part of my story that, like, happened with me that I chose not to share because I just felt like it was too vulnerable for, like, my family and, like, the people that I would be talking about. And sometimes I feel like maybe not even with the edit, but just, like, I feel like Jeff and, like, kind of just I got the energy that was held against me. And so, like, I wouldn't even – like, I don't want to say that, but, like, it's possible. I mean, but if they were actually mad at her, like – why would they show? I don't know.
That's what Worth Playing For says. If they had to have loved it, otherwise they wouldn't have included it.
And yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, if they were like upset about it, I feel like they wouldn't have included it. But I don't know. It's hard to know why they choose to like give these certain players so much screen time for like, and they're just talking about like, you know, they gave Rizgod a whole scene of him just failing at fishing and then yet she's getting like nothing of her game. So it's like hard to know. I mean, and I also like the first five episodes, four episodes, I like was basically invisible as well. So like, I feel her. It's hard to know their thought process until you actually like watch the whole season and kind of see where everything plays out. And then maybe it makes more sense. Maybe it doesn't. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But I thought that was kind of funny though, that she was like, no, I don't want the fruit.
I
would have been happy with anything. I'm not going to lie. I didn't get it. I was like, I don't give up. Like, yes, obviously I want bigger rewards, but like, I'll take what I can get right now. You know what I mean?
It was funny too, because it was like bananas, whatever. And then last week, the second place team, I think got, grilled cheese, and it was just grilled cheese. It's like grilled cheese isn't that much better. Like, yeah, it's cheese and bread, but it's not that much better than just eating fruit. And honestly, it's probably going to hurt your stomach more than just eating fruit at this point. Like, just go eat fruit. What do you, you mentioned Riz God and his, you mentioned Riz God and his fishing and all of that. What are you thinking about RIZGOD, the man, the myth, the legend, Riz God baby?
I like him. I do like him. I think he's cute and charismatic. And he's silly. I just find it funny when anybody refers to himself as a god. I can't, like, I just find it funny. I don't know. He's young, you know what I mean? And he's just having a good time. And I think that he has the potential to be a strong player. Obviously, he does something right because he's on 50, you know? Yeah. I love the, like, little humbling moments that happen when you're like, I'm a god. And you, like, you can't give up on fishing at like the first 5 feet in the water.
I know.
It's kind of funny.
We were talking about that. It's like everybody knows you're supposed to put those on either in the water or very close to the water.
Yeah, I get a lot.
He goes
closer
on a quarter mile hike.
I mean, I think he's fun. He's like, you know, he's the comedic relief. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, and he does have he's in a position of power. He's got an idol. He's with strong players. So I think he can do things in this game for sure. I wonder where the nickname came from.
Yeah, that I don't know. I feel like he probably explained it at some point, but I haven't read all of his press.
Do you think he gave it to himself or his friends gave it to him?
I think he probably gave it to himself. Come on.
Okay, but he, like, you know, he owns it, so whatever.
Yeah, but, you know, it stuck. That's what's important. But he gave it to himself.
It did stuck. I mean, and everybody's probably referring to him. I've been referring to him as Riz God. Like, I don't even know. I didn't even, like, I knew his name was Rizzo, but, like, his name was more of Riz God to me than it was Rizzo.
I just, last Thursday, I just did a podcast with Bruce from 44 and 45, and he was like, I'm not calling him Riz God. And I can't help it when I start talking about him. It's just Riz God. Like, and I've been kind of making fun of it because when we were doing all of our 50 coverage, I don't know him. I don't know anything about him. I don't know Savannah. Yeah. So I've just been saying, you know, this Riz God guy, this Riz God thing, whatever. And it's just, but now I can't help it because now I'm just stuck saying Riz God. Now it's burned into my brain. And
he did something there.
I try to think about this. Like, you get characters like Q who are very entertaining, fun, but he's still more than that. I feel like Riz God is one of the first characters we've had in a long time who's really just, like, comedic. It's not saying that he's bad at the game. It's just he's there. I feel like he was put on the show to be comedic.
Yeah.
Almost like a Big Tom all the way back in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And Big Tom could have won a season. Who knows? He sits next to Kim Johnson. He wins that season. So I just feel like that's kind of where they're putting him. And he says the nickname, we'll never know, but this is him. He says it just flows off the tongue. So I guess that's why we're just stuck saying Riz God, Riz God.
Is he here right now?
That's him. There he is.
Oh, Riz, I love you.
So get all your insults out.
Sorry for teasing you. I do love you.
Yeah. He has a bedtime of 10 p.m. So it's coming.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question? Is there, like, a way for me to show the comments as they're coming in?
You're on
an iPad.
You don't have, oh, she's gone. All right. So Cassidy just tried to figure out how she was going to show the comments and she ended up Xing herself out. So she'll be back here in a second. Here she is.
I don't know what I just did.
That's not how you see the comments. That's not the one.
Can you see me?
I can see you. Yeah.
You can?
Yeah. You left this whole.
No, I know. I can't see my. Wait, let's try that again. Okay.
Now you're here.
So I pressed the red button that, like, looks like you're leaving the door, which I think makes sense.
That means leaving. Yeah. 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 Leave. If you hover over that, it says leave studio. I have a mouse, so I'm hovering over that.
So I can see the comments, like, down here, but not, like, I thought for some reason, like, I used to be able to see.
You can't see them on the right side. Whatever. They're not showing up?
No, which is kind of a bummer because I would like to see them. I want to see what the peeps are saying.
Yeah. Here's worth playing for. Met Riz at the RHAP New York City.
Oh, here we go.
So I'm just going to throw up ones every now and then.
Okay. I can, like, can you, okay. So I can, now I'm on this comment screen. I can still kind of see it in the background, but I can, somebody comment something so I know it's working.
Yeah, when Cassidy ends up not answering a question for the next 30 minutes, it's because she's just reading comments.
I probably shouldn't. I honestly, it's going to distract me.
No, it's fine. You can keep it there. That's good. I mean, look, I keep looking over all the time too.
Okay.
Here you go. Daryl Seymour. I thought Cassidy was going to win in 43 until the finale. We're 2 minutes in. They showed Gaylor saying,
donating all the money. What was I supposed to do?
You were supposed to donate all the money, Cassidy.
Oh yeah, I just I wasn't a doctor, or I wasn't like a I can't remember what Gabler does, but he makes a good amount of money. I just wasn't I couldn't afford to donate all the money,
If you
but I
played
still respect
again,
him for it.
You'd say you're going to donate the money though, and
That's
then just
yeah,
not, right?
but then I'll become a pariah if I don't.
Yeah, exactly.
And
Nobody needs to know. Just don't do
yeah,
it.
okay, I'll just say it, and then I'll just never show the receipts.
Yeah,
I'll
exactly.
donate. I would donate some of the money. I would definitely donate a good amount of money. Maybe I would make an animal sanctuary or a cat sanctuary, and then that would be like my way of giving back. Because I would have definitely done something like that if I had the money, or at least donated to causes like that. But I couldn't have done all of it. I had student loans I had to pay off, got car payments. I got a family to take care of. But
The beauty of winning $1 million in your 50s instead of your early 20s, you know.
yeah.
I used to think it would be so, I mean, I'm in my early 30s now, but I used to think it would be so cool to like win $1 million in my early 20s. And now I'm like, man, it would have just been spent paying off so much. Like, yeah, you're
Yeah.
setting yourself
You
up, but
I
who am I
think
kidding?
winning, if I had won the money now, I could have trusted myself a lot more with making smart financial decisions now that I'm like also like, well, I'm not technically in my 30s yet, but I'm like very like right on the precipice, which is
We don't have
crazy
to
because
know
I'm
how
like, where
close
did
you're good.
the time go?
Yeah, you're fine.
But now I feel like I would have made if I yeah, but I still feel like I would have come to the conclusion that like I can't blow through my you can't blow through $1 million that quick. And I'm not like a crazy spender. Like I'm still pretty like I like to go thrifting and like I you know what I mean? I probably would have bought myself a nice car. But like other than that, but like a $25,000 car is like nice to me. Like,
Yeah. Yeah.
so yeah, that would have been crazy though. I would have been chilling
Yeah.
for a bit. I probably would have gotten a real job by now if I had won that million, but I probably would have taken a
You
few
would
years
need
off.
you could have done the Michelle Fitzgerald of just like, nah, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do that, I'm gonna do this, and then I'm gonna do shows.
I know she's amazing. I love her. I
Yeah.
want to see her back on the challenge.
I know. What are they waiting for? Anyway, all right. Where were we? Before you exed out of here, where were we? Who were we talking? We were talking about Rizgot. That's what Rizgot.
Yes.
He got us so
I didn't
distracted,
know
he
he
cut us
was
so far off.
watching. Oh my goodness. Now I'm nervous.
I know.
The
I
Riz
know.
God himself.
He's I wonder if he like has the mask and the snorkel from the island, you know? Is that just sitting in his little apartment? Who knows? I don't know,
Maybe
Riz.
since then he's like gone to the beach and he's like figured it out because it haunted him.
Yeah. So you, well, I mean, 50, right? He had to go back. Maybe
Oh
he
yeah, in
uncovered it,
50
but
he'll have his redemption. I know it.
you've been a fan since the beginning. You've like watched every season or no?
The man, the myth, the flipper.
The man, the myth, the flipper.
I've
See, there
been
you
a,
go.
are
You
you
see?
asking me if I've been a fan?
Yeah. Have you watched all the seasons or no?
I have. I've seen every. I mean, I started
Okay.
watching this show when I was like 3 or 4 years
Okay.
old. So I don't like remember every single season, but I definitely watched them all. And I've gone back and seen like previous seasons, but not all of. Like I haven't rewatched all of them as an adult. So when people refer to certain seasons, I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm sure I remember that. But I have seen them all, and they're all there somewhere.
Okay.
Right.
So the most important question is, how excited are you for Colby to say Riz God and have to call him Riz God on season 50? That's the only thing I'm dying for that moment on season
That'll be
50.
pretty. You think he will?
I think he will.
Yeah,
I
I
think
think
he's
he
going to
will
call him
too.
Riz God.
I think it'll be great. Yeah. Is there some reference to Colby calling somebody some other nickname or?
No, it's just Colby's the most old school, just
That's so true.
texting
Yeah.
guy. And I'm just looking forward to the confessional of I don't even know what a Riz God is. I'm looking forward to that very much. That's why I'm excited for Riz God on
That's
people.
so cool. I forgot Colby was gonna be on it. Man, Riz God, you got it. You figured it out, man. You just like
Yeah.
you go on 49 and then you just like you just make a big appearance and then there you are in 50.
There you are.
We're all over here, all of us like in the younger seasons, like, please don't forget about us. But
Yeah,
he's fresh in their mind. The
meanwhile, season
RIZGOD.
43, they've just decided doesn't exist. They're like, see you guys
Oh yeah,
later.
fuck 43. They
Yeah.
threw that one out. I don't really know. It wasn't that bad of a season. Like, come on.
It's still second or third favorite of the new era for me. I love 43,
I'm
but
honored. You're like
I
second or
know.
third. It's getting pushed down, but that's okay.
It's only because 47 and 46 were both really good back to back.
Yeah,
But
that's fair.
honestly, I might like 43 more than some of those. But that was my hot take on. I did like a Once Upon an Island video, and that was my hot take. And some
Hey,
people said, hey, that's great. And other people were like, you're an idiot. So,
I appreciate
yeah.
that. I appreciate the support. Thank you, Phil.
There you go. I'm here for you guys. I'm the biggest 43 stan. Whenever Owen says anything negative about it on X, I'm like, Owen, you can't even jokingly say negative things about your season. You need to stay the most positive possible. You got to do it.
Yeah. I know, and I feel like we had a tough go, like being compared. Hey, thank you. That is a hot take, but I love it.
Ryan says 43 best new era. That's what Cassidy's. And
that must be Ryan for my season.
Yeah, there it is. That's who it is.
I think it was tough being like having 44 next though, because there was like so many like big characters too, mm-hmm. that I was just like made RZ look even worse.
Yeah, but 44, when people rewatch 44, it just kind of like falls off the table, whereas you guys are skyrocketing. You okay. guys are getting better. You're aging like wine that's aging like milk. So here we are.
Take it.
Yeah, here we are. All right, Magic Man here. I'm living for the Cassidy content mother with a bunch of exclamation
thank
points.
Yeah, I forgot. I missed being called mother. That was like, that was a fun time for me. Just everyone calling me mother. I'm like, oh, mm-hmm. what more could you want?
Mm-hmm. I know. That's why we got to keep 43 in the lexicon just so that it keeps going. We got to have Cassidy just getting called mother at random times.
Until I'm like grandmother.
You know, yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right, let's start ranking players because Riz God threw me off. We're on a tangent.
What he does, he gets in your brain and then you keep talking about him. And I'm telling you, he knows what he's doing.
He's like the little worm thing that went into Jennifer's ear in Korong. And then she couldn't get it out. That's Riz God. He's just in there.
That was him in his infancy. And now he's like bloomed into a full person. Yeah,
exactly. That's a terrifying thought. Okay. Halloween season is over, Cassidy. We're moving past that.
Oh, I miss Halloween already.
So who are you putting as your safest person? I think you already said it, but who are you doing?
Yeah, I think Sophie. She's just in a good spot, and she's cracked the code so far.
So she finally wins an immunity last week. She was her first immunity win, and she can't beat Denise, right? She can't go to every tribal, but they didn't. Were you surprised at all that we didn't then go like to her tribe after just for the celebration of her finally winning? Being that she went 13, 14 days and had gone to every tribal and had one of the worst runs of the new era by far.
Yeah.
I was surprised we didn't go spend time with her considering she's been pretty much the star of the season.
I know. I agree. That was interesting. I feel like even a small clip. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure she's thrilled to not have to go tribal. So in her mind, she's probably relieved. But do you think there's like a small part of her because it would have potentially been, maybe it wouldn't have been a clear cut if both of them played their idols, MC and, but do you think there's a small part of her that's like, oh, I can't use that now at Final Tribal that I went to like every single, or do you think it's like she has enough of, you know, she's built up for this first half of the game, she's probably like, I feel like I've built up enough of a resume for this first half to like, it's okay.
Yeah, I don't know whose story right now hitting the merge beats hers. I don't think there's anybody. So now she's going into the merge where you say if she gets to the end, she's the favorite. She still has a lot of work to do. But if you were to give me odds right now and say everything else even in the post-merge, who's coming into the merge with the best odds? I'd say Sophie. I keep thinking that a lot of people are jumping on Savannah because obviously Savannah's on 52. So people are thinking maybe she wins, whatever. I think Savannah's getting a big edit, but Savannah's edit is more of like she's golden with confessionals. So of course you're going to get those. She's been wrong about a couple things. And she's also been like she's been harping on Jawan, but the rest of the cast isn't necessarily harping on Jawan. So I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing for her. Whereas Sophie Bellarity has just been constant positivity. And when it's negative, it's God, this has sucked for me. I needed to get better. So it's something that's really understandable and relatable. So I feel like she's the favorite. I have her at 1-2.
Yeah. Cool. Hey, we're off to a good start.
We're off to a good start. I know, very predictable, but I don't
think it's so nervous. I'm like, I don't know where to put any of these people. So I feel like you obviously have been pretty good at this. You've been doing this a long time. And you said your run has been really good this season. So the fact that we have the same number one makes me feel better.
Makes you feel better. Yeah.
I'm actually thinking about this game I don't know.
The knowledge is power is helping too, because if she does truly feel like she's in danger, she knows Rizzo has it. So she could always just steal it from Rizzo. And then immediately play it.
Would have to be crazy circumstances for her to do that. You know what I mean?
Because
obviously they would ostracize her like now closest alliance. But it would be really interesting if it comes down to it and he still hasn't played his idol and nobody knows she has this. That could be a really interesting move later on in the game when it's like the numbers are really tight if they're all still together.
Yeah, agreed. And it, like this week, it's almost her get out of jail free card. We always rank people really high who have idols and all of that. But if for some reason this whole thing were to turn on her and they say, wait, she has a really good story, let's get her out of the game. She can just say, nope, I have knowledge as power. I'm safe. So I just don't see any world in which she goes home. I'd be floored if she got knocked out this week.
Yeah.
All right. Who you have at number two?
I actually put Riz God at number two. I just think he's in a good position with his tribe. I don't think that like if they went after Uli, that I don't really necessarily think that they would go after him first. And he obviously has an idol, which if, you know, things get fishy, that's never a guarantee, but if things get fishy, he has the idol to have his back. And I just think that his tribe really likes him and that the people that he's interacted with seem to enjoy him. And I don't think he's like presented himself, like obviously we see him as a threat at this point because we're watching everything, but I don't know if like how much he's perceived as like the number one threat of Uli. So I think that puts him in a good spot. So yeah, I have him as number two.
I mean, so it's a boring start, but I think it makes sense because I also have Riz got it too. But my thing too is his idol is public knowledge at this point. Sage told everybody that he had found
that's true.
But what works so well in his favor is that Sophie B is who found knowledge is power. If somebody else found knowledge is power, like if Steven found knowledge is power, Christina or the other Sophie, he could be in trouble here because now they all know he has it. They can go take it from him. It's We've so seen true. People do cool things with it, Xander and Liana and all of that. Obviously, that's a pretty great moment from season 41.
Yeah.
But I don't think Sophie, like you said, there would be crazy circumstances for her to take it from him. So you got to be feeling good about his spot right now. He's well connected. And also, I think he does play the I'm just a character, everything's fun, I'm having a good time card so well.
Yeah.
That why would you be looking at him as a threat at the merge?
I think at this point, it's a little too early. I feel like, you know, obviously later you could be like, oh, he's so charismatic and people really love him. And like, but I feel like that's more of like a later, later on thing.
So let's try to break this. Who do you have at three?
And if there's any fishing challenges, then you're not going to vote him out.
No.
You know, if there's any.
Because it's going to take him so long just to get into the water. Yeah, he won't be able to get to tribal council.
Everybody walks tribal council in your flippers. And whoever gets there first is wins the immunity. And then you just immediately go to tribal.
Do you think, I mean, we've seen the snake thing, right? Where they're not using their hands and they're just smacking the ball with their face and stuff.
Yeah.
Do you think Jeff watched that moment and said, we got to do a challenge where people have to like run in flippers or something?
That'd be so funny, actually. That'd be incredible.
Riz God's a game changer. He made it.
Yeah.
All right. Who do you have at three?
I put Alex at three.
Okay.
Yeah. I just think that I think he's also in like a pretty good spot. I don't think that the original Kelly is going to get picked off right away at the merge. I just don't see, because of this like rivalry between Hina and Uli, like I don't see them coming together to get out, you know, one of the original Kelly. So I think that Alex, and he seems like he's like done well with his own respect, like with his new people, because him and Sophie got separated. And I think that like, I don't think his tribe that he was never went to tribal after. Did he ever go to tribal?
He hasn't been to tribal.
Okay. So we don't actually know like how it would have shaked out, but I do think that like he's formed some bonds with people, and I don't necessarily think anybody's just going to be like really looking at him right now as like a huge threat in you know, like in any of the respects. I don't think he's like, he's presented himself too much as like a strategic threat or maybe a little bit of physical threat, but we haven't seen that much from him in those respects, or at least like he hasn't, I don't think that like people are going to be looking at him in that way yet. So.
Yeah, I don't have him yet, but I do feel like he's in a pretty solid spot because Hina is going to be fighting for him, right? They need him as a number, and then him and Sophie could find themselves in kind of a middle position. So Uli might look for him. The only way he would go home this week would be like a Kageyan situation where the person in the middle somehow ends up being the person who gets voted out like Sarah did. But that's just not what I feel like we've been set up with him. I don't have him yet, but that's the only world in which he goes home. I think. I'm going to go with Savannah, though. I'm going to play it safe. I don't care. She's on 50. She's not getting 11th place. There's no way. There's no way. And I feel like she's the leader of the Uli tribe. And I feel like this episode is going to be about Savannah saying Shannon went home. That was my girl. Now I need to start going for headhunting essentially. And she's going to start trying to go after Sage and Jawan. And maybe she tries to mix up the game a little bit. Maybe she still goes after Ahina. Who knows? But I feel like it's going to be the story of Savannah really trying to dictate the vote at this next episode, because she's the one who lost Shannon. I don't think Shannon going home matters as much to Rizzo and Nate as it does to Savannah.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. I think part of me was like, this is obviously most likely like a red herring, but it did seem as though in the preview, it was like Savannah's on the chopping block, which I thought was interesting. Was that kind of how it was presented?
A little bit. I just don't buy it at this point. She's the confessional leader. She's been the tribal council.
It's obviously like, it seems like a red herring to me.
Yeah.
But I just like, yeah, like it's probably going to be like a situation where Hina tries to go after her and then they just don't have the numbers or something like that. You know what I mean? So it's like, she is one of the people that's in danger, but it's like, you know what I mean? Most likely not going to be, I don't know.
I also or it feel be like
a complete red herring of the preview. And like, it's not even her
versus
someone else at the end, which they do that sometimes.
I just feel like with Savannah too, if you're Hina, maybe you view her as the biggest strategic threat or something like that. And you say, let's get rid of her. Let's try to get the numbers. I still don't think Jawan would vote out Savannah. I know that sounds crazy, but I still think Jawan wants to play with Rizgod, Nate, and Savannah. He doesn't realize how okay with getting rid of him Savannah would be.
Yeah.
And so I could see Jawan kind of putting off going a better route that the audience knows is better to go with Savannah and ultimately play this kind of double agent role that keeps Savannah safe and fine and never gives the other side any chance against it.
Yeah, I can see that. And I feel like Jawan likes Savannah, not like necessarily likes her, but likes her a lot and she, like, doesn't realize that she doesn't feel the same way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Obviously he knows he's like messed up a little bit, but I feel like he likes her and can't help it or something. You know what I mean? He's drawn to her in a way.
I like that earlier you were like, I'm this close to 30, but we still use likes. It's fine. I do the same thing. That's fine. I love that
thing. I feel like.
So who do you have at number four?
I don't know.
This is where it becomes a crapshoot.
Yeah. So I feel like I'm debating between Sophie S and like Christina. Because I just don't feel like they're going to be perceived as, like, merge threats immediately or, like, that person. I mean, they could get caught in the crossfires. But I don't see people, like, zoning in on them and being like, we need to get them out. Necessarily, I feel like they could skid by a few more votes. So I guess I'll just put, like, Christina maybe next because I just think that she is well-liked. And she's not going to be perceived as, like, a huge challenge threat. Or maybe even strategic threat. You know, we haven't gotten to see much of her like strategic chops yet. So I think that she's probably in a pretty good position unless they're just trying to like pick off an easier target, which I don't think necessarily. I think that Uli's going to try to go after more of the strategic masterminds on the Hina. And if there is, you know what I mean? Like super strategic people, I think it would be more of like a Steven or somebody that they would like look to as more of a threat.
So, I'm really worried for Christina this week. I won't say exactly where I have her, but I have her a lot lower. My main reason for that is she's brought up Sophie's name a couple times, and then Sophie's been pushing back. And what I worry is if Uli wants to get rid of a Hina person, if they still want to stay strong and Sophie Bellarity and Alex go along with that as well, and they say, oh, who should we get rid of? I could see Sophie S saying, I want to go with you all. Let's get rid of Christina. I'm ready to get her out of here. Let me be. She was saying last week, I want to be Alex's new Sophie.
Can I switch Sophie and Christina?
You can.
Because I was on the fence anyway. So. Okay.
So I'm putting
you make a good point. I'm going to switch them.
I convinced Cassidy. That feels good. This is all the mind games that are going to happen later on. You know, I'm tricking you.
Here, sometimes you just someone makes a good point. And you're like, I concede. What can I do?
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times when I'm watching this now, I'm like just watching like truly as a viewer, and I've just like checked out my strategic brain, but I feel like you are still like really thinking about this game like from all the different angles, and I admire that. And so I feel like, you know, whenever somebody makes a good point, like you gotta accept it. And that's true. I do think that like, and they've brought that up for a reason, you know, in the editing. Because I think now that I've played, and even if you haven't played, like you can see the way they go with the edits, like, and why they bring up certain things. Like they've been building this Savannah and Sage thing for a while, and now they're like kind of bringing that in. That's really all the screen time that they've both gotten pretty much, besides like, you know, Christina and Savannah, or in Savannah, Shannon. I'm saying Savannah, I meant Shannon.
Yeah, Shannon, I gotcha.
And so that is, and it's interesting when you start trying to like follow the edits, like, you know, when somebody's about to win, but based on the music, like how it like builds up, like, you can totally tell like when someone's going to make the winning shot. And a lot of times you can kind of see like where it's going to go based off of the edit too. And so I think you're right that is probably something that's going to come up sooner rather than later, since they have been bringing it up already.
I do think sometimes when it comes to like people who have played versus people who haven't, like you've played, so you know what's being left on the cutting room floor. You know what's missing. You start to say, wait, there's more of this, there's more of that. But because I haven't played, and I think like a lot of the people who listen to us and everything like that, when you just watch the show and there's, you just get so used to what the show does and what kinds of hints they leave in.
Yeah.
And we're not thinking about anything beyond that. I'm just sitting here going, no, they keep showing Christina saying Sophie's name can be the alternative. And Sophie's like, I don't like that. And that's all we have heard from Sophie. So maybe Sophie goes home this week. I don't know. But to me, it feels like that has to pay off in some way. Otherwise, why? Like, that's the only content this poor woman has gotten the entire season.
Yeah, it's very true. And also, I do feel like Sophie, if it was going to be a battle between Christina and Sophie, I think that Sophie would be able to convince people better than I think potentially Christina could.
Yeah, I could see that too.
So
I'm going to go Nate at 4. I feel like Nate is so in the core of Rizgod and Savannah, and Jawan likes him. And I feel like he really bonded with people on that tribe. I mean, that tribe kept talking, the last tribe he was on kept talking about, I really like him. It would suck to have to vote him out. I really like him. I really like him. I'm not even convinced that he would have gone home because of Sophie and Christina butting heads. So I feel like Nate is in a pretty good spot entering this merge, which I thought he was going to be one of the first people voted out, because personally, I thought he was kind of a stunt cast. I thought they were just putting him on the show so that they could talk about Marvel. And instead, he's actually been one of my favorite people on the season so far. And that's made me really happy. So I'm pulling for Nate. And maybe this is a little bit of a heart pick over a head pick, but I'm putting him at 4.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. If I didn't have, you know, Sophie and Christina right next to each other, he would be my next one. So
you are going Christina at 5.
Can I change it?
Do whatever you want. Yeah. I don't know what it is.
I did have Nate like up there as well. And so I do think that like Nate probably has a better shot. Now that you mentioned that, like, they have been alluding to that, I kind of forgot that that was a thing. I do think that like Nate is probably safer, a little bit safer than Christina. So I'll just put her like after that. Okay. But I agree with you. I think Nate he's an interesting player. I think people do like him. He's, you know, played that dad angle, stay at home dad. I feel like people like that. And I do think he has the strategic chops, and he's in a pretty good position with the Uli tribe. So, and yet, like you had said earlier, he's met a lot of people. So, and I think that the truly only reason his name was ever even brought up was just because of the luck of the draw. I don't think that people are actually looking at him as like, you know, yet. I think later on people will start to like, catch on that he is a threat, but I think for right now he's in a decent spot.
Yeah. And I also feel like if they're able to convince an Uli to go home, Savannah and Rizgod would probably be willing to sacrifice Sage or sacrifice Jawan to keep Nate and really go to bat for Nate. I have a question for you though. So in that challenge last week, they're doing that like maze where they have to work the ropes, and it's Nate and it's Sophie. What did you think about the way him and Sophie were working together there? Because Nate was just like, oh, we're doing such a great job. Look how good you did there. How'd you feel? Like, how would you feel in that position? Because you're kind of in the same archetype as Sophie, right? You're the younger woman playing Survivor. If you're in that situation, I know Gabler was your version, so maybe that would be different.
Yeah.
But how would you, like, how did you view that scene?
Like as if, like, is he, like, infantilizing me a little bit? Or, like, making it so, like, I'm, like, more of a child in his eyes? And
are you looking at it positively? Or are you looking at it negatively? Are you saying, man, this guy's so comical, collected?
I truly think that it would depend for me on how do I feel right now? How stressed am I? And like, how is it coming off to me? Like, is it coming off as like, you're doing like, you know what I mean? It could come off as extremely annoying, or in the moment, if it's like, he's just trying to encourage, we're just trying to encourage each other. We're obviously like we have a lot of ground to make up right now. And like, sometimes it really, like, to me depends on the energy that I'm feeling from him in that moment. Like, I can't tell the energy. I mean, obviously, like, it did seem a little bit like he's like, you know, like talking to her like a child, like maybe it's just that's how he talks to his daughters, and he like is just trying to bring that encouraging dad energy. So I really think that it would just depend on like in that moment how it was coming off to me, like energetically and how I was feeling. But I don't know. Like, I do appreciate the encouragement and the positive energy in those difficult moments. So I don't know. But yes, it could come off as like a little condescending, I suppose. you know.
Yeah, I felt like he was. It's funny because how he handled her, and then I think it was last week or the week before, we see him yell at Rizzo to shut up because Rizzo was telling her to pick something up, and he shut up because he had nothing left. It was after he moved all the heavy bags, and so maybe it was him maybe overcorrecting or something. I thought it was a good moment, but then I'm also sitting there going, if I was in that situation and it was every move I made in this immunity challenge that was going to be the difference between potentially going home and continuing my journey for $1 million, would I be enjoying celebrating every corner we pass? I don't know. I don't know. But yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. I like Nate a lot. So
yeah, I like Nate too. And I think he seems, you know, he seems smart, but he seems kind too, like deep down, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He seems like a good guy, but I do think that he can like make the moves he needs to make to get to the end. I don't know. I still feel like I'm still getting a read on Nate, but I do really like him as a character so far, character and person, obviously. Like, mm-hmm. You know, he is a person, but I don't know. I think he's cool. I like him.
Well, I'm gonna go since you go Nate at 5, Christina at 6. I'm based on what I have over here. This is how old school I am. I'm looking down at my notes, just so you know. Every time I'm like looking here, I have you on a notebook and then I have mine on sticky notes. So I am going to go Alex at 5. We kind of talked about him already. I feel like he's going to be in a good spot. I feel like he's more of the middleman here. He has more connections, but yeah. Just in case something crazy were to blow up in his face, that's why I only have him here at 5 and not in like my higher. And I actually have Steven at 6. I know he might seem like the bigger threat from Hina, or maybe the biggest threat from Hina. I think the moment between him and Alex killing the chicken was such a big moment for both of them from a bonding standpoint, because you could tell they were both really uncomfortable with that, really out of their element. And like most people know, if you do something with somebody, even if you barely know that person, and it's totally out of both of your comfort zones, and you feel like you just went through something, that adrenaline almost bonds you. Mm-hmm. And I think that these two are bonded by that. And so Alex, who might have a little bit of a say in this post-merge, might look to stick his neck out a little bit for Steven at this moment. Plus, we had the scene of MC and Steven talking about with the idol and finding the idol and, you know, finding the beware advantage at this point, which hasn't turned into an idol. That hasn't come to fruition yet. That hasn't come to a head. And I almost wonder, could Steven end up getting, you know, the idol from MC? Now, in the first episode, we also had Steven talking about how he's paranoid that everybody's not going to like him and it was totally out of place. So maybe that's signaling that he's going to be the merge boot. I don't know, but I'm going to put him at 6 because I like him and I feel like he's in a pretty good spot.
Yeah. Okay. I'll just, since I've already like had Christina kind of in the lineup, I'm just going to put her as 6, but I do have Steven as my next person after that. So we'll throw Christina in there. I mean, you're right about her. Like, she's probably in a bit more danger than I'm like breaking her as, but since this isn't the end of the world, I'll just go ahead and put her at 6. And then
we do like public shaming afterwards, you know. It's like, no, yeah. Like Sammy, I don't know if you remember or not, but Sammy, he had you wouldn't remember this, but he had posted, or he had done this podcast with us, and he had said, forget who the player was, but it was a couple of us, I think it was 45 or something like that. He said, if this person goes home, I'll bet like $100 on the Cardinals to win the Super Bowl. That's how confident I am that this person's not going to go home. That person went home the episode that Sammy said that. So, and I don't think he bet $100 on the Cardinals to win the Super Bowl.
Wow, Sammy.
He doesn't come through on his bets.
Yeah, that's funny. I mean, I do feel like you can never be – I love his enthusiasm and how, like, you know what I mean, strongly he felt, but you can never be too certain in this game. No. I'm never making a money bet on like what's going to go on.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially for me at this merge vote, it's like there's too many variables. There's just too many connections happening to be certain about anything.
So I'm just saying, you know, if you do make a huge error, we will find it. We will dig it up and we'll let you know, you know. So
okay. Thank you. I love
no being pressure.
Harassed. And,
yeah, exactly. And we'll give it to like the biggest passive
haters. I actually miss that. Like, I miss having people talk. Yeah. That, you know, be angry at me and say things about me online. So I'm ready to get back into that.
Yeah. We'll bring that up. Okay, cool. We'll start a whole thing on Reddit.
My faults and failures.
Like, can you believe what Cassidy
did? I need some humbling.
Yeah, exactly. All right. My number 7, I'm going to go with Jawan.
Okay.
And I'm terrified for Jawan this week. we have a scene of Juwan sitting there talking to MC. I feel like Juwan could get in trouble for trying to play all sides, like really could get in big trouble for trying to play all sides. But right now, as far as Savannah knows, Juwan is with her. And Rizgod knows Juwan is with him. And Nate knows Juwan would be with him. He's proven it with votes. Mm-hmm. Why get rid of Juwan at final 11 and lower the Uli numbers to 4 because he keeps picking up your water bottle or he's annoying you with the bag or whatever it is? Yeah. I just feel like he's in too good of a spot. And I feel bad for Juwan because I really don't feel like Juwan is playing that bad of a game.
Yeah.
I feel like he's just kind of getting dodoed through the edit.
Yeah. And also, I just feel like I can't understand the logic of like taking somebody else's bag to collect firewood unless mm-hmm. he like really, you think he really thought it was his bag?
I have no idea. That's where I've asked so many people who have played, because you all know, like, how easy is it to mix up bags, to mix up water bottles? Like, I don't know. So I'm confused how you mess it up, but I don't know how easy it is.
I feel like our names were on our water bottles, I think. I could be wrong. I could go grab mine. It's somewhere here. Our bags also had our initials on them, but I think it was like inside. I think it was inside. So, but they all look very similar from the outside. You know what I mean? Like, it probably would be relatively easy. And honestly, can you imagine if it's just his bad luck that he just like did that twice to her? And it's like not even, because I could imagine that happening to me and then just like me, it just like killing me. Cause like, I know now they think it's intentional and it's just like my bad luck. Mm-hmm. I feel like I've had situations like that before where I was just like, so maybe it is just his bad luck, or he's just not paying. He may just be like somebody who, you know, is just like not necessarily paying attention to like certain details of things. You know what I mean? His mind could be, sometimes that'll happen to me where like my mind will be in a completely different spot and I just won't be completely aware of like what I'm doing, like, you know, physically. And so maybe he's just that, or maybe he like, I don't know. I don't know what it is. It is kind of weird, and it sucks because like when you're with these people that long, any little thing like that you do just will get, it'll just grind people's gears. Like it will, you get on each other's nerves so easily. It's funny because when you bring up the point of like, she's probably not going to like get out Juwan yet because of these, like these silly little things that have been annoying. And it reminds me that like, whenever I went into the merge with Ryan, like me and Ryan obviously had some beef and like, we were on kind of the opposite sides with like the Geo vote and stuff. And then when we went into the merge, I really wanted to get Ryan out, but I had to like hold on to that because we needed the numbers, you know what I mean? And so I like let that stuff go for a little bit, and then eventually me and Ryan kind of like went after each other again. And it's funny because whenever I actually started the game, I was like, I'm working with that guy. Like, I want that guy on my side. Like, I wanted to align with the strongest person on, or like people on the tribe, just because that's like your safest bet a lot of the times. Those people usually don't go home early on, unless something crazy happens, but I just didn't like, I just couldn't play strategically with him. We just were not on the same page. So, but I do think that like, she will get over it for these votes, cause she's going to need him unless he's just completely trying to jump ship. But I don't think that was his intention.
I don't either. And I think she's just too much of a gamer. Like, there's no way Savannah's going to give up her shot because of a little argument. Now at final 10, yeah, Juwan, you might be gone. Like,
she, when the time is ripe and it's like people are down, she'll like take her shot. That's what I did with Ryan. Like, it was like I waited for the shot, but I wasn't gonna like take that shot any earlier than I needed to, because I needed him as a number, you know. And I obviously love him. He's a great guy and all that. But it's just like, you know, you can't be buddy buddies and play the game to the end with everybody. And it was just one of those people that like, we just, our values or intentions for the game just didn't align, and like, you know what I mean. But and so I think she'll get that shot later, especially because they've been building this narrative between the two of them. But I don't think she's not dumb enough to let a small grudge lose her a number that she needs right now.
100%. 100%. So where are you going at number 8? You're in your bottom.
So let's see, let me pull this up. So I already say Steven?
You did. You put him at 7.
Okay. My next person is, did I say Savannah yet?
You have not.
Okay. I'm like trying to figure out where, I think I like had, maybe I didn't put her down.
Should I be moving Savannah way up and putting other people further down? Is that what's about to happen here?
You?
Well, I mean, I'm just, you know, as I keep track of your list.
Oh, now, here, yes. Now I'm going back and changing everything.
Yeah. I'm writing in pen.
I had Savannah lower. I did have Savannah lower. Okay. I just, I just, for some reason, it like erased or something. I think that I'm trying to decide. I think I'm gonna go with Savannah next.
Okay.
I think, yeah. I just think that she, like you said, has had too big of an edit and has too much power within her tribe, and she's got a friend, a close ally with an idol. And I do think that people may try to take that shot. I don't think that, like, you know, I think she's going to be a threat for a lot of this merge, and so she's going to have to make some really smart decisions. But I think that if they can consolidate the power with this vote, that she'll be in a pretty good spot for, you know what I mean, the majority of the merge.
Yeah.
But I do think that she's definitely going to be seen as a threat. I just don't think that they'll be able to take this shot yet.
Yeah, she's going to be targeted, though. I think that's the thing. Savannah could end up getting 10 to 15 votes at this post-merge and never go home.
Yeah.
But I feel like she's going to be targeted just because you have to, unless we as an audience are just seeing her as the leader of that alliance. But I'm not seeing it as RIZGOD. I'm not seeing it as Nate. I'm not seeing it as Juwan. It is Savannah. And if you're going after an Uli, she feels like the one you're supposed to be taking a shot at.
Yeah. But I also think that sometimes there is like a groupthink that happens at the merge where it's like anybody but me, and like you are not necessarily going after the biggest target because you think it'll be too difficult with all of these different people voting, and like sometimes you just want to get out an easier person so that it doesn't go crazy and turn on you. And I think that we do see that happen sometimes, so that could be another like form of protection for her, that like, you know what I mean, it just kind of depends on how these people group up and what kind of numbers they're able to get. But sometimes it does happen that way where she's like, let's just get somebody out that's, you know what I mean, let's like, we can make a bigger move. But I think that sometimes there will be easier players to target, because whenever it gets back to a really strong player, it's like, it's more, it's, or a really strategic player, it's more frightening. You know what I mean? Like, there's a higher risk of it blowing back in your face versus somebody who's a little bit more like docile for the game, or somebody that's like a little bit of an easier target that's like not going to be able to like kind of pull out the stops that somebody like Savannah would be able to, because she's, you know, she's sharp.
Yeah.
And she's got people on her side. So I think that I would be a little bit afraid to take that shot personally.
Well, yeah. And like,
so
you
that
said,
could be her.
Well, just like you said, especially at the merge, that's the time, right? Like that's when it's like, just get rid of the low hanging fruit. And the four people I have at the bottom here, Sage, MC, Christina, and Sophie, the reason I have them all so low is because I don't feel like anybody's going to stick their neck out for them. There's people who would stick their neck out.
That's
for Savannah.
Fair.
Savannah would stick her neck out for people. So
that's fair.
Yeah. I go Sophie S next. I think her and Alex, I actually think her, Alex, and Nate might've voted out Christina if that tribe had lost. I think I said that already. I don't remember, but I feel like Sophie, she's expendable. She's not going to win. We don't really know her at all, but I think that there's other people that you're looking at a little bit more closely.
Yeah.
At this merge. Still have her low because I don't know her at all, but I'll put her at 8.
That's fair. That is, and that does happen to people sometimes where like they'll get a very little edit and then they'll just be voted out like merge or, you know what I mean? Like, you know, one of the merge or post merge votes, like, and it's kind of crazy. Like,
Janine,
it's kind of a bummer too, because it's like, okay, this person was still here for this many episodes. Like, at least give them a little bit of something. Like, they, you know, they obviously, it's a dream and it's a privilege to be able to play, but at the same time, like, you want your time to be seen a little bit. So it's always kind of a bummer if she is one of the people that goes home, and we haven't even really gotten to see much for her. I know that's kind of probably tough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you're down to your bottom three. Who do you have at 9?
I have MC next.
Yeah. I have her also at 9.
Yeah. I think that she's just, she obviously like doesn't have her vote right now, so that is concerning. I do think that she potentially could find you know what I mean, get the idol before this next vote, but that's just a scary place to have to like, it sucks, because if you had gone to tribal prior and you had a smaller tribe, it would have been a little bit easier to navigate and to try to like do whatever crazy task they're going to make her do. That's going to like, it's obviously going to be somewhat hazardous for her to like, try to like, they're going to do something that's going to make it difficult for her to get it right. And easier to get caught. And I think that now that she's at the merge having to do this, and first of all, like your vote is so crucial when you have these two warring tribes. And then also you have to do this task that is a dangerous task that, when there's like double the amount of people around that could see you, you know what I mean? And so I think that it makes it a way more risky time to have to like do this beware advantage. And so I think that could get her in trouble. And also I think she's just seen as a threat. She obviously is, she seems like she could become a challenge beast. She's strong and she's very likable, and I think that, you know, she obviously has like intelligence as well. I think that she is, could be seen as like a triple threat too. And if people do find out that she has the advantage or the idol, if she gets the idol, then maybe she, you know, she's probably in a good spot. She'll probably end up, you know.
What worries me is if she finds it, because I put her at 9 because I think she's going to get the idol and she'll get her vote back. But I'm so scared that, like what you just said, if it has to be public, if people find out, Sophie Valerity with that knowledge is power could easily steal it from MC. If MC loses immunity, MC is the most threatening person out there.
Yeah.
From a physical standpoint, she might also be one of the most threatening people out there just from the, like, an overall well-rounded gameplay. Yeah. We might just not have seen that entirely yet. So when I look at where MC is sitting right now, I put her at 9. I don't put her at the bottom because she's probably the front runner to win whatever the immunity challenge is. I'm sure it's going to be some sort of endurance challenge and she's going to be good at it. And then she's going to probably get her idol. The best case scenario for MC is she's able to get the idol while she already is wearing the immunity necklace, because then she can maybe get some heat off of her, because people would be like, well, why is MC going to go hunting for an idol when she has immunity?
Yeah.
So maybe that would help her a little bit.
And then also, like, if she didn't find it and lost her vote, it's like, at least she's safe, even though it would be very unfortunate, because then her side will lose another number and, you know, or potentially lose another number, and that wouldn't be good long term, but at least for the night, you know what I mean? You just make it to the next day. But yeah, I do. And also, it's like, I don't know how to explain it, but sometimes people just give off this like aura or this energy of like, they could win this whole game. Like, I could just see her being somebody who like, who is a winner of this game. And so I think that maybe if I'm picking that up, other people could pick that up too. Like, I don't know how to explain it. She just gives off this, like, she's like very calming, but powerful, like, presence about her. And I think that she like could command respect in that way. And that's always threatening when people like command respect just naturally by their presence. Like, those people are more inclined, or like, people are more inclined to like want to work with them or want to vote or like vote for them at the end. And so certain people just have that presence. And that to me is also threatening, especially if you're somebody like who doesn't, that isn't one of your like strongest attributes.
Yeah.
And you're like, you know.
Yeah. MC definitely, I feel like, is going to be getting votes whenever she can. It's just going to be a matter of would people stand up for MC here? I do think there's a couple people who would. And I think she is a little helped by the fact that she got to meet Rizzo, she got to meet Sophie, and she got to meet Savannah. Because if they are calling the shots, maybe they say, oh, we like MC a little bit more than these other people that we don't know.
Yeah.
So that could help. I'll knock mine out because I always like to have the guests go last here. I have Sage at 10 and I have told you I was going to have Christina lower. I have her at last. I think Christina could go home this week. I have Sage at 10 because she made her move last week. She got rid of Shannon. I do think that Savannah is probably going to be pissed off about this and could potentially come for Sage on this. I don't know who would stick their neck out for Sage because it feels like most people would be okay with it. However, Sage could be the avenue for the Hina tribe and Alex to gain a little bit of power.
Yeah.
She told them all about Rizzo's idol. And then I put Christina at last, though, because I just think that everything has been set up that nobody is going to put themselves on the line for Christina. Christina's not really close with anybody who's left in the game. The person she seemed the closest with was Shannon, and Shannon's now gone. The two of them were really bonding, and now that's not going to happen. And I just feel like how small her edit's been and the fact that she keeps throwing out Sophie's name and maybe she just keeps making these little slip ups. I could almost see like a 9-3 vote in the, or I guess that doesn't work, 8-3 vote or something like that to get Christina out of the game and just do a nice, simple, easy vote. But I am a little worried for Sage. Again, though, not very confident on my picks this week at all. I think it could be any of my bottom five.
Yeah. I agree with that. I think that putting Christina last was a smart decision. And I do think that like, I think for me, when I was thinking about it, I was like, she doesn't strike me as somebody who's going to have enemies or be seen as a threat, like a threat in going into the merge. But like I had also said, sometimes that's like the easiest person to just get out. You know what I mean? Somebody who doesn't have like a super strong, like alliance or people that will fight for them or like, you know what I mean? Just somebody that's it's just an easier vote. That does happen for sure. And yeah, like you said about there have kind of built up that like Sophie against Christina edit a bit. I put Jawan next and then, cause I have two left, right?
Yep.
Okay, so I put Juwan next, just because I don't know. I honestly don't think that he's really that much in danger. I just was trying to figure out about Dan. I just think I, you know, my reasonings were the fact that he did flip kind of on the Uli and him and Sage. I'll just kind of group them in together because their Sage is my least safe. I don't want to see her go by any means. I actually really like her. But just because, so with Juwan and Sage, they both were kind of on the outs a little bit in their Uli tribe, right? It was like that strong four and then them two kind of on the outs. And I just felt like she wasn't able to connect quite in, like well enough with her tribe for them to like. But at the same time, like we had also said, there's a good chance that Uli is not going to do anything about this yet because they're going to need them. But if Sage decides to like jump ship and then they're mad, like there could be like a crazy toss-up where like Uli and Hina team up to like get someone like Sage out or something. If you know what I mean, if she makes the wrong move, she's in a really precarious spot right now, so she needs to make the right moves. Because sometimes also just being the person to make the big move, like I think that's what happened with actually, no, never mind. I was trying to think about the Ellie vote, but I don't think that was she had made a big move. She just pissed off Gabler, I think.
She just made Gabler mad, yeah.
Yeah, but sometimes like that's like, oh, they made that, she made this big move, like she's a player, like that's like fresh in their minds. Uli's mad, Hina, you know what I mean, could just be looking for somebody to, so there's a chance that Sage is in a precarious position right now. But there is also like you said, avenues open to her being able to like navigate with both sides if she can play it right. But yeah, I just have her and Juwan last. I don't think Juwan's gonna, but I do just because of the issues he had with Savannah. Like I don't think that she's like desperate to hold on to him, but I do think that she needs him. So I don't think either of them are really gonna go home.
You got him at 10 and 11. You have to be confident.
Oh
Confident.
yeah, you're
Yeah.
right. Okay. Yeah.
Well, I'm looking at your season. I think your season's a good example of like what happens when the numbers aren't so lopsided. Because obviously at this point there's been so many mix-ups. And when Ellie went home, it was 7-2-1-1. When Dwight went home, it was 7-3-2. And then Janine went home 9-2. So they were pretty landslide votes at those three tribal councils until the
Yeah.
game can kind of get moving a little bit because people are just playing to save themselves. And obviously
Yeah,
the
it
James
was.
Ryan boots were surprising.
Yeah, it's true. It's like people were voting against their own. I mean, the what's it called? What was their, what was the Yellow Tribe's name on my season?
Baka.
Baka.
I'm looking at it. I would have never known that. I'm looking at it. There's no way.
That's how bad my memory is. This was like a life-changing experience, and I forgot
Yes.
the
You
tribe.
remember your tribe name, right?
Oh, Coco. I
Okay,
have it
good.
like a shittily tattooed onto my skin. You can't see it,
That's all right.
but and also I thought Coco was like the absolute cutest tribe name to ever exist, and the fact that I was on that tribe like made me so happy. When I walked up, I was like. Anyways, besides the point. But with like the Baka, it was like they turned on their own. They had the numbers and they had the time together to build those bonds. And they still turned, like, you know what I mean? It all went to shit when the merge hit. So that's why you just really never know. Like this could be the straw that breaks the camel's back with Uli this last vote. Like you just don't know. Like that could happen and they could vote against their best interest and like lose the numbers, like what
Yeah.
happened with Baka, you know what I mean? Like it ended up working out okay for Owen and Gabler, but like the rest of the tribe, you know, I mean, it just, you never know how things are going to shake up
Yeah.
and what grudges are really going to push people to do what things. And so I don't know, but I do think that Sage and Juwan definitely just made a crazy move that rocked the boat, and so that's kind of why I put them last, because that's going to be fresh in people's minds. They weren't that close with their original tribe. And they both have like kind of interesting personalities that I think like are difficult to connect with. Like I think they find it a little more difficult to connect with everybody. Like there's specific people that they can really bond with, but I think like as a general rule, maybe they struggle a little bit more with the social aspect. in some regards. So I think that those are kind of like the reasons why. But I do love them both. And I think, like, I don't want to see either of them go. And I love this whole like Sage Shannon thing was kind of funny to me. Just like all the faces she was making was reminding me of the faces I would make with Ryan. And so it was just making me laugh.
She's like, very lucky she did not get caught after the kissy kiss face last time too. I mean, that one was huge. That was a big reaction. Huge.
And she was like, and Savannah like immediately turned back. And it was Yeah, she was risking it to like make those faces. Whenever I was at Tribal making these faces, Ryan was behind me, so I knew I wasn't gonna, you know what I mean? And it was kind of too late at Tribal, but it's like, she really was playing it up for the cameras, and it was kind of risky.
Yeah, but it was great.
What do you think about Sage?
I think Sage pretty much saved the season last week. I was not into Sage at the beginning. Because the editors gave her nothing except for like just a poop and
the blackhead, like, the blackheads in the jar.
Yeah, the blackheads in the jar, which like I don't know where that comes from. So it's like these weird bodily function stuff. She was barfing and all that, and it's like I didn't get it. And I was like, why are we putting somebody like her on the show? Because before the season started, I said this character almost never works out. This is like the weird, doesn't connect, gets a couple confessionals here and there, says something funny, but doesn't really translate to TV.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden her last three episodes have been absolutely incredible. And she's been like the best thing on the show.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, why did we only give her that at the beginning? I love what she did. Even if she goes home next, she made it so that we are not going to have a boring, predictable, by the books post-merge. And I will forever thank her for that, because we've had a bit of a rough stretch of predictability dating back to last season where it's just been, I mean, since David went home, we were told it's either Star or Mary. Then it's Mary, then it's Cheyenne, then it's going to be Mitch, then it's either Camilla or Kyle, and Kyle's like, it's been so predictable for so long that even though Shannon going home to me felt predictable, I loved the storyline and I love that Sage did it, because now I think it leads to chaos.
I agree. I think that it'll make for a much more interesting merge. And I think, like you said, like sometimes a lot of times characters like that don't work out, but when they do, like those are the types of people a lot of time that are like willing to rock the boat. Mm-hmm. And like, because they're just like they don't really have like these super strong ties to anybody. So they're just like, let me just see what I can do. And then when it works out in their favor, it's awesome.
Yeah.
You know? But it doesn't always. And so then it can be like, but I think that it was, I was actually really hoping that this was the outcome of this. It's funny because I liked Shannon at first, but the like saccharine spiritual sweetness just like got to me. Cause I'm also like a spiritual person, and I did like connect with that a lot out there. And so I understand like I believe in manifestations, and I believe in like energy and those types of things, but she was just laying it on so thick that I'm like, the spiritual girlies already have a bad name, and you're just making it so much worse for us. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, it felt a bit caricature-y, where it was just a little over the top, and you're saying,
especially when she was leaving, she's like, it's all love, it's okay. I'm like, and maybe she does actually feel that way, but you'd have to be like a very like enlightened being to like truly be like actually okay with that. And I just like, I'm like, I feel like you're laying it on right now. Like, you're not happy that you're leaving this game. Like, you've like, you know what I mean? Like, you can leave in a good and in a respectful and like graceful manner, but I just think it was just too like, you know, like if I got voted out like that, I would like, I'm not giving, it's all love hugs to everybody, because I'm you know what I mean, I believe that things happen for a reason and all that, but I would be pissed still. Like, you know, I don't know.
What did you think about it?
To believe that unless you're like actually Jesus, that like you like take it that on the chin.
Yeah.
You
know what did you think about the denial of the hug?
Oh, that was, it kind of felt a little bit like a slap in the face, because she's like, I want it to be genuine, and it's not genuine right now. Like, I don't know. That was like such a burn, because Sage was also playing her the whole time too. You know what I mean? Oh, yeah. It wasn't like Sage was being completely authentic and Shannon was pretending to be the most authentic, but was actually the least authentic. And then Sage, but it's cause like Sage was still laying it on too and playing her. And so I don't know. Like, I found that kind of like a weird move, but I think she was just like, I just don't like you. So I just don't want to hug you.
And I think at that point, she's saying, you're not on the jury. I finally can be real around you. Just get away from me. I'm done. I don't want it anymore.
Yeah, it's true. I think she was just rubbed the wrong way. And I honestly, I started to get, I thought I was going to love Shannon. And I was like, You know what I mean? But after like the first episode, I just like, you know, I thought we, you know, I, cause I did like breath work out there. And I mean, I didn't like lead breath work meditations. Mm-hmm. I kind of did it on my own. I went out and like did yoga and things just to like connect, but I never like was like over the top with it. It was just kind of like my own spiritual practices that I kind of like did in private, unless people wanted to like share that with me. But mm-hmm. I just feel like it just got so over the top. And I understand that people are, do like really feel that way and like are very genuine about that. But like, I don't know how I feel about like using that to like play people or like to like, I don't know. It's a tricky subject, but that I didn't end up like feeling it. Like it was like that genuine. And yeah, so
it seemed to be, that was a lot of people's reaction of it was too much and it didn't feel real at some point. And it was like, is she playing it up or is she trying to manipulate with it? And I think when people use religion to manipulate, that's one of the biggest just like no-nos. I'm not saying she did, but I just think that that's the way the internet and stuff was taking it. And Sage just got to the point where she broke. She just said, I'm done. I've watched that GIF many times. GIF, who cares? I watched that many times.
There were many kisses. GIFable moments.
Yeah, where they just keep doing the kisses back and forth and then she like makes that face and then does the kiss again. I'm just like,
I would have been losing my mind too. Like three kisses, girl. Like three air kisses. Like get off of me. Like get away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, your relationship isn't that great, even if you think it is. Something's wrong, Shannon. You gotta figure that one out.
Yeah.
All right. We got through the rankings. Before we end this, who do you have as your winner pick?
Why have I like not even thought about
didn't give you any heads up on that.
But I should probably have one. I just, you know, I did do a draft last year and I won. So I should be thinking about this again. But I guess since I didn't do the draft, I didn't look that much into the players before. I've just been kind of busy this season. So I didn't like really look into it. But let me think about this. I'm trying to decide between MC and Sophie. I feel like Sophie has a really good shot, but then I'm also like, is her story too big to make it to the end? Is it too obvious of a winner for people? Like if I was on the tribe with her, I'd be like, she's got to go. She's like, she's got this whole story. She's just this survival. I mean, you know, she's got all these bonds. So I don't know if she's actually going to be able to make it to the end. If she manages to, I think she wins. I think MC could be like a dark horse that comes in, like, you know, if she makes it, like wins immunities and like, you know, if she can make a couple moves, I think that she could, like I said, command the respect to be able to win. But she hasn't gotten, I mean, but sometimes the people that win don't get a big edit at the beginning because they want to keep it secret. You know what I mean?
Gablers and Owen's edits were all pretty small early on.
Yeah.
None of you all did anything. I don't know if this would change your opinion, but Rizgot just said big Cassidy fan. I don't know if he's trying to curry some favor here at the end, but.
Oh, I do. We actually did message a little bit on Instagram and he had told me that. So I don't think that he's playing me right now. I think
okay.
And that means a lot. Thank you so much. I love you too. Maybe he wants me to pick him as a winner.
That's what I'm saying. I think he might be coming in at the last second here to be like, hey Cassidy, let's change your mind. You know, like, you know, you're going to vote for somebody for school president and they give out cookies in the line, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes
like that's why I wonder if I didn't win the game, because I just like, you know, sometimes I just like take everything people do as genuine and I don't pick up on this.
So what's your official pick?
Can you tell me yours?
Right now I think it's Sophie.
Okay.
That's where I'm at now. I wasn't there at the very beginning, but I think Sophie's got it right now.
Yeah. I'm wondering if I should just do something different just so that we're different, or if we want to celebrate together once we both win.
Well, here's what I'll give you. Three of the last four guests I've had have picked Sophie as the winner. So do you want to be like everybody else?
I mean, never.
Or do you want to be different and potentially wrong? That's where you have to figure it out. You know, do you want to be like everybody else and potentially right, or go out on the island?
All right. I don't actually care if I'm wrong, so I'm just gonna be different. And okay. I'm gonna say MC.
Okay. There we go. But your heart.
You heard it here first, folks.
Is your heart telling you, Sophie?
No, like, I don't know. Kind of. Like, my gut is a little bit telling me Sophie. And then my head is like, but she has such a, like, you know what I mean? But maybe she doesn't, because there's other big threats. Like, I feel like people are going to be going after her before her.
Mm-hmm. Give the pitch for MC. How does MC get to the end as the physical challenge beast that she is?
Yeah, you're right. I don't know.
No, but how does she do it? I want to hear the pitch.
like, well, you obviously not have thought that much about this.
I know you're coming at me saying you're right. No. Come on.
It's purely like a vibe that I'm going off of right now. Like, because I didn't actually like take the time, unfortunately, to like really think this through. So I'm just going off of a vibe right now. But then I could also see her as like a very late like jury member too, you know.
That's not the confidence the MC stands.
Sometimes I think though, when everybody thinks that this person's gonna win, they don't win.
And Sophie seems like that person right now.
She seems like the obvious winner pick right now. And I feel like a lot of the times, like, that's just like not who ends up winning. Mm-hmm. Like Jesse in my season was like the obvious winner, or I mean, maybe even Carla. And you know what I mean? They had these big edits and they didn't, and they had these like stories, like, you know what I mean? And they didn't end up winning. So I don't know. Sometimes it is more of like the under the radar person at the beginning, because they want to hide them.
Cassidy is taking her season experience to determine this now. I mean, 43, that's,
I mean,
why
what
a
else
lot of
do
people-
I got? What else do I got?
I'm just saying, that's why a lot of people were turned off by 43, because they're like, where the hell were the edit for these people? I'm like, it was there the whole time. Just Jesse's was so big.
Yeah.
Because they were setting up Jesse for a returning season, obviously.
Yeah. And then where did it come? Where is, I want to see him back. He's not on 50, right?
No.
That's
him and Carolyn both.
That's so crazy to me.
Yeah. It's crazy to a lot of Survivor fans.
I want to see a season where it's runners up. That's what I want.
Any particular reason why?
No, because that's like the only shot I would ever get at getting, I think, going back on the show.
I like that though. Hey, pitch your case. Let's go.
Listen, I can be interesting again just because I did the challenge. Jeff redacted the statement that people that were on other shows shouldn't be on Survivor, or we don't want them anymore. He did redact. I don't know if he still in his heart redacted that. But he did another interview say he was wrong about that.
You know why,
right?
So now
I'm like, maybe there's a hope. Maybe there's a chance, but
I think it was because he was giving Carolyn the hard time for going on the Traitors, and the entire fan base was like, dude, we don't care. This is your chance to – she's the star of your new era.
If anything, you're bringing more fans from other shows back to Survivor, which we kind of need that.
Yeah.
We kind of need our fan, big fan – like, you know what I mean? Like, we could always use more fans. I feel like people have fallen off the show, and I feel like – bringing them, like, when somebody said like diehard challenge fans, if they watched me on the show and they liked me, maybe if I was on, or work with, especially with somebody like Carolyn, obviously, like, she's a way more interesting, I think, TV personality than me, but like her being on the Traitors, like, could bring a whole, you know, they're a different network, a whole different audience. And I don't know, I always thought that was kind of a silly take. It was like these are my toys. You can't play with them. Kind of vibe.
Yeah, I'm taking my ball and going home.
Let people try to make a career out of this if they want. You know, the world 9-to-5 sucks. Like, if you want to be on TV, let them. You know what I mean?
I mean, but Suri was okay. Suri went and played other games.
That's the thing. And he even said that. He's like, well, people like Suri, like, they have special privileges, which that left such a bad taste in my mouth. I was like, don't even admit that.
I was in the room when he said that, because that was at the 48 premiere. He said, you know, but there's some legends like this. And I was like, what are we doing? Stop doing that. You can't do that. Your mom gets mad at you, but your sister's fine. Like, stop that.
Yeah, I didn't think that was cool. That was kind of like. But apparently that's been redacted. So I don't know, maybe in a future season, people like me have a chance, but I've kind of put that mostly to bed. Although you never know.
Hey, if they call, you're answering, right?
Yeah. Well, yes. I would want. I mean, like, obviously, I would. It was such an incredible experience. I would go back in a heartbeat. But I don't know. I mean, it most likely won't. But you never know.
Yeah.
You never know.
You never. Hey, there's a lot of people who have played this game a second time.
That you
never thought we're gonna play a second time.
Yeah, that's true. And also, like, I think that if they did do like a runners-up season, that could be really interesting. Like, people that they know how to get to the end of the day, at the end of the game. They've gotten that close. Like, their fire for it I feel like would be, and it's like they believe in themselves. I think that's like when you play before and you get voted out, I feel like that puts a fear in your heart. Mm-hmm. Whereas like, obviously so does losing at the end, but like, you know, you can do it. And I feel like having all these people that like have figured out how to get to the end and then just like have this fire to like win because they like, it was like so close and they could just taste it. And, you know, I mean, I think it would be an interesting, I mean, we'd have to see how many, like, because I know that sometimes people get brought to the end and, like, maybe those characters mm-hmm. are not necessarily what you're looking for. But I feel like there's been enough seasons where there are enough people that have lost the game that are strong players and interesting. And I'm not saying that I'm necessarily one of those people, but I do think that there is enough to make a cast.
I mean, and they've brought back a lot of those, like Stephen Fish back, obviously Russell all those years
ago. Chrissy.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Chrissy coming back for 50. Colby's still playing. He yeah. lost season two and he's still playing. Like you can do plenty with your seconds. Hey, I've said this, right? With the zero vote finalists that have also happened in the new era.
Yeah.
Most of them could win.
You could bring Xander back.
Got to the wrong point. Yeah. Like
who else? Carolyn. That would be a season for Carolyn.
Yeah. Carolyn, Owen, Xander. Like those are all Jake O'Kane. Those are all people who get votes.
Me, maybe.
You got a vote. That was the thing, you know. But
you're saying zero. Wait, no, not zero vote.
Come no, on, I'm just saying you could have both of these things. It both could be like you versus them, you know.
We'll do the tribe of zero vote finalists and the tribe of people that got like one or two.
Yeah, exactly. You'll be on a like, tribe
we're better than you
with like Dreams from Fiji, Cassidy and Dreams teaming up.
My nickname is Dreams. Actually,
with a Z like, or
my,
an S.
My huh?
With a Z or an S.
With an S.
Okay.
But my parents, like my dad grew up calling me Dreams. So I was like Dreamy Sweets because I used to have this doll when I was a kid called Dreamy Sweets. But I always loved Dreams actually because of, I think, that reason. I watched him when I was like 10. I was like, Dreams, like I'm Dreams. I'd love to see him back. We can bond over that.
Your arcs were not the same, by the way. They're not the same at all.
That's why it would be interesting. Yeah. All these different arcs and all these different, you know?
I'm down. Look, anything to spice it up.
You're watching. I didn't mean what I said about leaving a bad taste in my mouth with your interview.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to like chop this up. Don't worry. I'll cut out. This is going to be a 25-minute podcast by the end of everything because I'm going to make sure anything Cassidy said that could potentially be construed as negative is just.
Yeah. Thank you. I need that actually because like me chatting live is like, is just, I don't know what I'm going to say. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
I mean, we just went for an hour and a half and all we did was rank 11 people. So
I can yap. That's the thing. I can yap. So
loved it. Thanks for loving it. You have anything else you want to say before we wrap it up?
No, I don't know. I mean, it was fun. I'm excited for the rest of the season. I hope that we continue this, this chaos. I love the chaos. Like let's shake things up, you know, come on, Riz God. We know you're watching.
Yeah.
We need to see the god bring chaos to all the peasants of the game.
If Riz God votes along tribal lines the rest of the game, he's just Riz. He's not even
Riz. He's just Riz.
Just lost God.
Yeah.
He's just Riz. And we're saying it sarcastically at that point. He's Riz, you know? It's like, yeah, okay, dude.
Not has Riz, just Riz.
Just Riz.
But if he votes interestingly and crazily, then he has Riz and is Riz God.
Right now, Riz God's going back and saying, damn, I wish you could play the game differently.
He's like, shoot. He's like, yeah, well, you know what? I made it to 50 and you didn't. So that's all he has to say for anything that I say. It's like, I'm like, so fair. So fair.
I mean, everybody has me beat. I'm just sitting here.
He obviously has Riz to get on 50.
All right. Well, that's it. Like the video. Subscribe to the channel. On Tuesday, Tegwith is going to be live with Star from season 48. So that'll be Tuesday. I forget exactly. I think 3 p.m. Eastern time. Will and I will be back Wednesday night after the episode. And then Thursday, I do have James Jones, 7:30.
Oh, amazing. I love James.
I know. I'm excited to have him back on. I always love.
I'm sure he'll have a lot of it. He's always got good things to say.
Always.
I do a podcast and I just feel like compared to James, I just sound like an idiot.
James hits that game bot. The podcast, even he just knows where he's got to go. He knows what he wants to say about everything, about how the game's going.
Yeah, I'm like, don't watch ours back to back.
No, do watch them back to back. That's what casting's supposed to be, is two very different people. I don't know if that's the case all the time in the newer seasons. Anyway,
that's true. Oh my god, this season I feel like there was like so many people at first I was confusing with each other.
I know everybody least, still like, thinks three, Sophie like, and Sage are the same.
Three or four, it was like Shannon, Sophie, Sage. I don't know. They all like looked similar to me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't know.
You are not the only
They're obviously
one
very different struggling. People, but it's just like, yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, you know what? Can we really quick before we go?
Yeah.
Isn't it so fascinating to think that like there was supposed to be two different people on here and they got caught pre-gaming and now it's like a whole different season? Like I'm just like desperate to know who they were and like what and like ask them why are you so.
Let's go like really big into the butterfly effect here. Those two people getting cut opened the door for Savannah and Rizgod to get on 50, which leads to whatever happens on 50. If those two people don't get cut, 50 looks different.
Yeah. Wow. What tribe were they supposed to be on? Do we know?
Yellow. Yeah. It was MC and Jason who replaced them.
It's kind of crazy that MC wasn't like a main cast. I feel like she's.
Well, and it also makes sense though why that tribe dominated because they weren't leveled to the rest of the playing field. Two people get pulled, you get the best puzzle person and the best physical person on the same
That's
tribe.
That's so crazy. True. Yeah. Do you think that the people that pre-gamed like knew they were on the same tribe when they did that?
I think so.
It was like the day before, right?
Jeff said it was like the day before they'd already started like shooting pictures and stuff, and they were just egregious with it.
That's so. They were like the people were like very obvious about it.
That's what he said. Yeah.
That's so. But they're probably. I mean, I don't want to like dog them because they're probably already like kicking themselves so hard. Mm-hmm. But you're so close, and it takes so much work to get on this show. It takes so much work. Like when you don't even understand the half of like the and I'm sure like Alexa knows like a lot of stuff. Even just to like get an interview with them and like all the like the testing you have to do, the 1,000 questions you have to answer, your brain is like pounding by the end of it. Like, and then just all the forms you have to fill out, the physicals you have to go take, the heart scans, not to mention all the interviews and all that stuff. And then like the clothes you have to go buy and send in. It's just like a crazy amount of work to be right there.
And people always ask like, is there a blacklist? Those two people I would say are probably blacklisted. Those are the only two I think I'm confident right now that haven't played who are probably not in the eligible pool moving forward, considering they pick them off that much.
Because, like, you're like, we don't make – I'm sure, like, the producers are like, we don't ask that much of you, like, now that you've been cast. Like, there's, like, a lot of rules before you play the game. But, like, the main rule is don't cheat. Like, don't talk to each other before. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? And it's like we're setting this all up for you. We're giving this whole opportunity. We've chosen you. Like, just, like, respect our rules. And so to, like – I don't know. It was funny because actually Gio tried to talk to me. And I was like, he was like, I remember we were walking down a hill and he like tried to shout something. And I was just like, what are you saying, dude? Like, don't drag me into this. I'm not like, you know, it's so funny. I remember I think somebody commented, one of the girls commented like something I was wearing in the bathroom. And I was so nervous. I was like, oh my God. It's funny. But yeah, that's crazy. I always wish I could find out, like, just like I wish I could find out the guy who was supposed to be on my tribe that like, didn't end up making it because of like medical issues, and then like Gio replaced him. He never like reached out. I'm like, I want to, because I really thought like I could have bought. I don't know. I got a vibe from him, and I was like, I wish I could have met him. But
yeah. All the behind the scenes stuff with, you know, alternates and it's crazy. And I feel like it's much more of a storyline in the new era than it was in the earlier seasons. And I don't know why that is, but it feels like it's much more of a storyline.
Yeah. And it seems like most of the people that are alternates like end up on the show.
Yeah. Eventually. It seems like they're using the same pool of a lot of stuff. They're definitely bringing in
MC probably would have been on like 51 or something.
Yeah. Yeah. She would have been called back eventually. So,
but
anyway, wow. There we go. That's Sunday night, everybody. I hope you enjoyed this episode. That was fun. I'm excited. Like this video and subscribe to the channel. Cassidy, always a pleasure. We'll have to get you back on here for 50.
Yeah, so I'm excited.
Talk some real shit about Rizgod, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it. 50 is going to be, I don't know if it's like I'm excited or it's going to be a tough watch. I'm still deciding like how I'm going to feel about it. But it should be interesting at least.
Yeah.
The cast is like so interesting to me. I don't know. I need to look at it again, but
interesting is a nice word, but you know.
Yeah. Here, how do you feel? Tell me how you feel.
Yeah. We had so many episodes over the summer of just talking about what we thought and what we didn't think.
Okay,
and
I'll have to go back and every those.
It's Anyway. Yeah. Anyway. That so could be like, a whole nother hour tonight, Cassidy.
Yeah, okay.
A whole nother hour.
I'll just have to go back and watch the other videos then.
Yeah, it's pretty.
I know you keep trying to wrap it up, and then I keep like inserting okay. like another.
Hey, you keep going. I'm just, you know, I was trying to. I'm looking at the time. I'm like, holy crap! I don't want to keep her. You know.
Yeah, but, I know.
Everybody's excited over here. So, all right, we're wrapping
somebody
up.
Somebody said, "Oh no!" Somebody's like, "Cassidy's been awesome." Phil, you were okay.
Yeah, I was okay.
I'm sure you have like your people that troll you on here. It's just so funny.
Yeah, no, they're just they're praising.
I think you were fantastic. You're an amazing host.
Thank you
for having me.
Appreciate it.
Just don't forget, we couldn't have done this without Phil. So
there you go. There you go. Who would Cassidy have been talking to? Nobody.
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 That wouldn't have been interesting. My cats. That would have been interesting.
That probably would have been a better podcast. All right, we're out of here. Thank you all so much for listening. We'll see you next time.
It's all love, baby. It's all.
Healthy Cell is different than typical supplements because it's a gel, not pills. Healthy Cell uses microgel technology, which is clinically proven to absorb 165% better than traditional pills. That means your body actually uses the nutrients, so you can feel the difference. And instead of swallowing a handful of vitamins, one great-tasting gel pack can replace up to 18 pills. Healthy Cell formulas are created by physicians and nutritionists to support energy, focus, immune health, and overall wellness. If you're going to take vitamins, they should actually work. Healthy Cell. Reach your potential.